On the, as far as that first responder, let me remind you, you can use those cards to invite folks to come and help celebrate, help honor those. I mean, there's a whole lot more folks we can do that as well. And who knows, they can get saved too. Like the other day when we had someone did a funeral and the funeral director got saved. That's okay. That's all right. We can do that. And I would encourage you just invite folks and get moving there. Oh, I did fail to. There's one other prayer request you want to write on your bulletin. Megan Kemper, is that correct? Did I say that right? Megan Kemper, acquaintance of Jeff Jordan, kind of a distant friend there, relative there, but suffering some complication from an appendectomy. So I know they would appreciate your prayers. Some things just aren't going right. So it's Megan Kemper. So we would pray for her. I know they'd appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles. We're going to turn to Mark chapter 13. Anybody need a worksheet? Didn't that slip your hand up? Anybody need a worksheet? Didn't get a worksheet. Slip your hand up. All right. Well, very good, gentlemen. Mark chapter 13. We're kind of skipping through Mark a little bit here and there because an awful lot that's covered in Mark was we already covered in Matthew. And so if you may want to go back and look at some of those, but we do have some things. There's some things that are covered in Mark that's not covered anywhere else. And so we're kind of jumping through these and kind of working our way through and catching a few of these little things that Mark covers. Let's look at Mark chapter 13, verse 28, if you will, to the end of the chapter. Mark chapter 13, verse 28. Now learn, of course, these are the words of Christ. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So ye, in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh the end of the time, the end of the age. Know that it is nigh even at the doors. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Look at that again. Take ye heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye, therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Say it this way, sleeping on the job. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So we're going to pray, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight a little bit. Watch. Watch. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for the exhortation. Lord, you said we're supposed to preach the word to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And Lord, we need to encourage our folks to do what you've called us to do. Lord, we don't want to be found sleeping when you come. So Lord, I pray that you'll bless us here this evening. Pray that you'll inspire us, and I pray that you'll encourage us, and pray that you'll give us some vision, and I pray that you'll use it. We'll give you the praise, and we ask for your spirit to move. In Christ's name, amen. I think there's a lot of folks that, and I understand this is part of being a Christian, but a lot of folks like to be a Christian because of what they're going to get out of it here. Now, God gives blessings. Understand. Frankly, we don't deserve to be saved. So out of gratitude, we all just be thankful we get to be saved. Not only that, we get to be called a servant. We get to serve the one who saved us. And now he takes care of his servants. But there's an awful lot of folks who have come, especially in our society right now, where we have this I deserve it mentality. And because I have an I deserve it mentality, it's like, well, if God hasn't done anything for me recently that I can say wow about, then he's kind of slipping up on the job. Actually, he's the householder, we're the servants. It's almost as if he's not serving us the way we like, he's kind of dropping the ball. When really, it's us who have the opportunity to serve a wonderful master. In the passage of Scripture that we have here in Mark, the death of Jesus is coming very soon. He will be leaving. He'll be going to heaven. In our passage, you could say he's the one that's going to be taking a trip to a far country. The disciples are being given the responsibility to carry on the ministry. And of course, the last verse we said, he said, what I say to all of you here, all of them out there, all of us, whoever will read it. He's saying this to all of us. We're given a responsibility to carry on Christ's ministry. And just as there have been those that hated Jesus, if followers of Jesus truly fill his role in the world as they're called to do, they will also be hated just as Jesus was hated. It's not always fun and games. I remember there are several preachers who thought when they went into ministry, everybody was going to love them. I don't care who you are. No one loves not everybody loves anybody. And in fact, when you're up front, you're saying some things, and in the multitude of words are one of not sin, so we probably said something that hurt somebody, and this and that and the other thing. You know, we're a target, you're bound to get some stones thrown at you. And if you stand for Christ, wherever you are, you're bound to get some stones thrown at you. You say, well, all I did was love them and tell them the truth. I know that and you know that. But sometimes truth hurts. The world is also going through the cycle that God foretold that will happen right where we are. That means that sin will build up again and will take over the world. Things will come to a head. Perilous times will come because men shall be lovers of their own selves rather than lovers of God. And we're seeing that. There were some... So a real quick one passed on the news this afternoon. Some refugees that want to sue the government because they're not, refugees someplace else want to sue our government because they're not getting what they want. We say, well, come in here and, you know, learn English and we'll work with you here. No, we shouldn't have to do that. That's like me coming down to your house and throwing myself on the sofa and saying, what's for dinner? That's what I would have said. You show my house like that and throw yourself in the sofa. No. Really. Just as other writers have foretold in the Bible, Jesus also talks and validates that there's some upcoming events. Now go back to chapter 13 real quick here, and I want you to see some things. We've got some quick points we're going to make. In verse 1, he says, trouble's coming. He says, he went out of the temple, and one of the disciples says, you see all these stones out here in the beginning, and all these buildings here? And he says, yeah, well, day is going to come, not one of these stones is going to be left upon the other. These stones that are 4 by 4 by 16 feet, not inches, huge stones. Trouble's coming. Well, the next question in verse 3, when's this trouble coming? Verse 3 says, and they sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple. Peter, James, and John, Andrew asked him privately, tell us when these things shall be. What shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled. Don't get all in a clamor. That word troubled there means to wail. He says, don't get all worked up and make a big stir and get everyone else worked up. So it was wars and wars and rumors of wars. Yes, look at the next thing, next phrase. For such things must needs be. But the end shall not be yet. So there's going to be problems. Things are going to get worse. It doesn't mean, I know we love the, even so come Lord Jesus. I know we're like that. Of course, the older we are, the more we're willing to say that. When I first got married, I didn't want him to come. I had stuff to do. I wanted to enjoy my wife, and I wanted to have some kids, and I wanted to be a music director at a church. I had some things I wanted to do. I kind of, I mean, yes, it would have been fine for him to come. It's great. I would have been happy, but I didn't really want to come right now. I got some things I want to do. But the older we get, the more it comes to the point we got more friends on the other side than you have on this side, you know. And he says, listen, these things have to happen. Don't get all worked up about it. These things are not good, but this is not the end. We cannot allow ourselves to become distracted over the end because we have much to do and to concentrate on right now before the end comes. Now, I'm not trying to be mean here, but we got to be careful to just focus on the end times, the things going to happen after we're already out of here. Now, I know that's interesting, and I know there's some things we can learn from it, and I'll be honest with you, that was one of the things that kind of got in me that said, I better get saved before the end comes. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you spend all your day thinking about things that are coming. We've got stuff to do. It's like laying out on the grass daydreaming about what we're going to do and then never ever doing anything. Verse 8 says, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. Listen, some major things are going to happen. The world is going to seem to be in an uproar, but these things are just part of the preparation, just the tip of the iceberg. Yes, these things, as you see these things coming, you just remember he's coming. But what it means is he's coming. I got to get off my backside and get to work. He can't catch me sleeping. That means he's right around the corner. Verse 9, but take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils and in synagogues. You shall be beaten. You shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must be published among all nations. He says, it's going to get tough. Some people aren't going to like you. Some of you are going to be thrown in jail. It's already happened in our country, a little bit here and there. It could get really bad. But he says, listen, we have to first publish the gospel among all the nations. This, all this stuff is happening, but we've got a job to do. That's what the boss left us here to do. What he would have been doing if he was still here. As the Father has sent me, Jesus said, so send I you. So we have a job to do, and that is to make sure the whole world has at least heard the gospel. So don't allow inconveniences, opposition, watch, even death to some people. Don't allow that to hinder you in the job you've been called to fulfill. It could get real bad. It could get real bad for Christians before Christ comes back. Look at verse 11. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it's not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. He said, I'll be with you. I'll tell you what to say. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father to son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That doesn't mean you get saved by enduring, by persevering. It means the ones who, even though they may, it didn't say you're not dead, is the ones who stay with the Word of God, the ones who stick to their faith, are the ones who are real. Because you know what? Part of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, temperance, faith. When the Holy Spirit's in you, He increases, He makes your faith almost all the more real, all the more potent, if you will. And you say, well, I know the Spirit because I talk to Him every day. I'm with Him every day. I'm not going to deny Him. I'm not going to deny Him any more than I would deny anybody else that I love and cherish. And those who, so basically they say, well, I don't know if I could do that. Well, maybe you need to go back and get to know Him a little better. Maybe you need to get to know Him for the first time. Verse 14, we come into the middle of the tribulation. I'll explain this in a second. So all the, I did this, we did Matthew. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. The rapture's going to happen, but it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And remember, he's also not just talking to us, but he's talking to the Jewish nation. Okay? And even after the rapture, there's going to be some folks who are going to get saved. Look at verse 14. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understandeth, then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. He says, now when it gets like that, you head out of town. Because this is the bad part. We're coming down to the last days. Now, I'm going to read a couple of things. You can put it in the margin if you want. In Daniel 9:24, it says this. Daniel 9:24, Old Testament prophecy. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. What people? The Israelites, the Jews. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. All that, I won't get into all the theology there, but basically he's saying, I've used the Old Testament to show you that we're all sinners who need a Savior. Now, starting with they're given the command by a Gentile king named Cyrus to go back and build the temple, from that point on, God is now showing, he's going to bring about the salvation that's needed for these people who now realize that they're sinners who's headed for hell. So he's going to bring it about. So he says he's going to finish the transgression, going to make an end of all those things, make an end of sin, reconciliation for the iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and prophecy, and anoint the most holy, make Jesus king. Now, in that verse, we've gone from Jesus coming as a child to him reigning as King of Kings. In that one verse, we've done all that. Okay, thousands of years just went past right past us there. Okay, and look at verse 25. Know ye therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. Now, we'll get in all this. Just take my word for it right now. 7 weeks of years. That's 49 years. And 62 weeks. A score is 20. So 60 is 60 plus 2. Okay? So we're talking about, at this point, 69 weeks of years. Okay, it's going to be 490 total. This brings up to 483. Now, verse 26, and after 62 weeks, the 62 sets of years, 7 years, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. What's he talking about? That's talking when Jesus comes, he dies for our sins. Messiah, the king, the one's going to come and save us, right? He's going to be killed, but not killed for himself, killed for us. Messiah, this is Daniel now. This is Old Testament, hundreds of years before it happened, okay? Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come, Antichrist, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now, again, not trying to get all crazy on here, but I do want at least to give you some of this. It's kind of time consuming. Up until the time that Jesus is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, 10 days later, Pentecost happens. We usher in the church age, the age of grace. Paul calls that age a mystery. We don't know how long the age of grace is. We're currently living in the age of grace, the time of the Gentiles. Okay? Now, that will go until whenever. We don't know when actually the master of the house is coming home. We don't know. But that's going to take us up to the rapture, when all those who know Christ as their Savior will be gone in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We'll meet him in the air in the clouds. So that's kind of weird and spooky. A lot of weird and spooky stuff that we don't know about. But that's not as spooky as the fact that the old devil's walking around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now that's spooky and weird. But anyway, so he comes up there and then says he has 1 more week. Remember, it's supposed to be 70 weeks. We've done The first 7 plus 62, that gives us 69. So where's the last week? That's the tribulation, the 7 years of tribulation. Now, this prince of the age, this Antichrist, is going to make a deal for 1 week, so to speak. He says, I'm fine. We're going to take care of this thing here. And so he's going to make a deal, verse 27, a covenant with them for 1 week. And in the midst or the middle of the week, 3.5 years in, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. In other words, he will go into the temple. He's going to let the Jews build the temple back. By the way, most of the furniture and even the red heifers are already waiting in Jerusalem. They just need the word for somebody to say to get the Muslims off there and let them build the temple. And so he's going to come along. Have you ever noticed that even now, I don't understand why Hillary Clinton even cares. And I'm not really sure why Trump would care. But the question is, where do you stand on Israel? They still ask that. Where do you stand on Israel? And so the fact is, a guy's going to come up and he says, I stand with Israel. And all the religious people could say, well, good. And then he's going to let them build the temple, get the sacrifices up and running, and they're going to say, isn't this wonderful? He's ushered in the millennial kingdom. And when he's got them all suckered in, he's going to walk in, sit on the throne, and say, by the way, I'm God. That's 3.5 years. Daniel chapter 12, verse 8 says it this way. Daniel 12, 8. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. By the way, we're not supposed to know everything either. Okay? Many shall be purified and made white and tried. So a lot of folks are going to get saved. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Then verse 11 says, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, 3.5 years in, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, he makes himself the God, there shall be 1,290 days. That's approximately 3.5 years. That's the last half of the tribulation. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. That's 45 days later. And I'm not sure what all that is. I'm not sure we're supposed to know. They'll know when we get there. But go thou away till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand thy lot at the end of the days. Now, I said that to simply say, all that's coming. We're working up to a climax, and we are getting in there, getting closer, and it's going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. The wars and the rumors of wars and the earthquakes and all that stuff. But he says, listen, when that guy sits down on the throne in the temple and calls himself God, look out. Mark chapter 13, verse 15, and says, let him that is on the housetop not go down in the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of the house. Get out of town. This is the time to stop and take care of yourself. And let him that is in the field not turn back again to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. In other words, this is going to be tough, and there's not going to be any mercy shown. And pray that your flight not be in winter, for in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of creation, which God created unto this time. Neither shall be. And this is going to be the worst thing we've ever seen. You think it's been bad? No one has seen anything like this. And except that the Lord has shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. In other words, these are the folks who are saved during the tribulation. Verse 21, then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or here is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. In other words, even then, there's going to be people that's going to come along trying to convince the people, these imposters of Christ. But it can't be Christ because he hasn't come back yet. When he comes back, everybody's going to know it. He's going to split Mount of Olives wide open there. You go back and look at Zechariah. I mean, it's going to, everybody's going to know when he actually comes back. But take ye heed, Behold, I have foretold you all things, but in those days after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars of heaven shall fall, the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect with the four winds from the uttermost part of the earth, the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable, the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Now, watch. We do not know the exact time, but we know that the time is coming. And knowing that the time is coming will help us keep us on our toes. Not knowing exactly when the time is will keep us from coasting until the time is here. These final events, once they start, will all happen in a relatively short amount of time. Verse 30, verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. But we have God's word on this. Verse 31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. He said, I know the world's falling apart. Hang on to the promises of God. Remain faithful to your calling. And if you think this is not going to happen, you just remember, my words are not going to pass away. Heaven and earth's going to pass away. You can take my word on that one, he says. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. All that, I know that's all introduction, but what I'm trying to do is say this. He's coming back. What's going on is telling us he's coming. But we don't know when. It could be tonight. It could be another 100 years. Frankly, it could be another 1,000 years. Now, I'm like some other folks. It's been about 6,000 years since creation, and there's 1,000 years in the millennial reign. That's a good round number. It makes you want to think that it's got to be like right here, you know. But 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years, so I don't know. We shall see. Now, number one on your paper, stay alert. Stay alert. He says in verse 33, take ye heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. That, he said, that, take heed, beware, keep a close eye on yourself. See, we say, well, I can keep a close eye on everybody. No, you keep a close eye on yourself. To do what? To watch, to stay awake. Don't fall asleep on the job. And what else are we supposed to do? We're supposed to pray. Stay close to God. Keep relying on God. Things are going to get bad. But listen, be careful for nothing but all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We got to stay with him. If you think you're going to make this by yourself, you're in for a rude awakening. Because it could get really tough. Really tough. So he says, take heed, watch yourself, stay awake, pray, for ye know not when the time is. Well, so what does that have to do with anything? Because it could be today. And if it's today, I don't want to be found asleep. Don't get sidetracked. Don't allow yourself to wander off. Don't become enamored with the things of this world. Don't lose your focus. We have a job to do. Our master has gone to a far country. He is giving us a job to do. Now, Jesus is definitely coming back. We have his word on it. There are definitely some general signs of his coming that we're already seeing. But the actual moment of Christ's coming is unknown. We are not to be sitting around waiting for Christ's coming. We have a job to do. We need to be doing until Christ comes. What's that? That the gospel should be published among all nations. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And you see, the fact is, watch. I've seen guys say, what are we going to do? We don't have enough folks in the church to pay the bills. It looks like we're going to have to close the doors. We only got 20 folks here. We got to go out and get some people come in here. Well, let's see. Let's hold a barn dance. I'll tell you what. Maybe what we need to do is we need to have movie night on Sunday night, and we'll have a nice family-rated movie, and we'll get some. It's not about keeping the church doors open. That's not the church. You're the church. The body of Christ, a living organism, where Christ himself lives inside of us. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're not supposed to keep some old monument, some old cold stone drafty building. It's about having people coming to know Christ as their Savior through the temple of the Holy Spirit is expanded because each one of us is the tabernacle of God. We have a job to do. Luke 19:11. I gave it to you there. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, watch this, occupy till I come. Different parable, but listen, same principle. You got a job to do. I'm not leaving you guys here to sit underneath some tree and drink lemonade. I've got a job, do it. When I come back, I expect it to be done. And that's us. Also written by Luke is Acts 1 through 6. It says, when they therefore, of course, Christ had arisen, is about ready to ascend to heaven. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Don't worry about when I'm coming back. Don't worry when we're going to set the kingdom. Don't even bother with that. Just know it's coming. That's really all you need to know. It's coming. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus is taken up from you into heaven. So shall he come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. You know what I think those angels were saying? What did he just tell you? He told you to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You're going to receive power so you can be witnesses unto me. And there we stood. And these angels come up and said, Lord, listen, guys, don't just stand there. You got a job to do. What are you doing standing here looking in the sky waiting for me to come? He's coming back, and we better have done our job by the time he gets back. We better have done what we're supposed to do. Don't stand there twiddling your thumbs, looking in the sky, counting the stars. Right now, this is what we need to be our focus. We need to be winning folks to Christ. Number two, servants have a responsibility. Servants have a responsibility. Jesus is the owner, and we are the servants. We got to make sure we keep that straight. We're not the owner, and he's the servant. He's the owner, we're the servants. Verse 34, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey. So he's going to be away for a while, and his return is unpredictable because of the distance and thus the variables of the trip. It's going to be a long time. We don't know how long. Who left his house. It's still his house. He might not be here. He might not be here for a long time. But we're not supposed to have a mutiny. We're not supposed to take over the house. We're not supposed to take over the boat. It's still his house. He's still alive, whether we don't see him now or for another 2,000 years. He left his house and gave authority to his servants. We're the caretakers. That word authority means several things. The ability, the force, the capacity. He's the delegated influence. In other words, but tarry ye in Jerusalem, you shall be endued with power. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and other most part of the world. He says, I'm going to make you capable to do what I've called you to do. So people say, well, I'm not Jesus. I can't do that. No, but we have Christ in us. So he says, I'm going to give you, I'm going to delegate that. It is our job to do as the master of the house would do. Let her see. And to every man his work. He left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work. He gave his assignment. We each have an assignment to fulfill. We don't all have the same assignment. But our job as a church, as the body of Christ, is with as many folks to Christ as we can. I think a little jewel he gives every one of us is that we can all lead somebody to the Lord if we would start telling the gospel, we're bound to get somebody. But you know as well as I do, some people are going to spend more time on that, and some people are going to spend more time on some other things, and so forth and so on. But it's all part of the same job, the same body of Christ. You know, my thumb doesn't do exactly the same thing my finger does. My thumb doesn't do the same thing my big toe does. My nose doesn't do what my ear does. My ear doesn't do what my eye does. My brain really doesn't do a whole lot. But anyway, all these things, you know, they all have a job, and they all need to be put to work. Every man his assignment. And watch. And commanded the porter to watch. You know what I think that is? I think that's the Holy Spirit that's supposed to keep an eye on us. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Spirit of truth will guide you in all truth. We have a responsibility. Servants have a responsibility. Number three, a good servant is diligent. A good servant is diligent. He says, you got a job. Verse 35, watch ye therefore. So I've given you a responsibility. And by the way, we don't know when the boss is coming back. So watch, watch. Watch ye therefore. As servants, we need to be diligent. Keep an eye on what we are doing. See, we are as Christians, we're too busy watching everybody else, trying to keep everybody else straight. That's not what he says. He said, you as a servant, watch. Make sure you're diligent. Make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do. Listen, don't you worry about everybody else. When the boss comes home, he's not going to be impressed if you've left your job undone, but you've been running. He's got somebody else to take care of that. That's the Holy Spirit. Don't be the Holy Spirit. There's some people who think that that's their job in a church, to be the Holy Spirit, tell everybody else what to do. Don't be the Holy Spirit. You do your job. So when he comes in, he knows you're right where you're supposed to be, doing what you were supposed to do. Well, sometimes we're running around. Have you ever had a job we all had jobs from time to time, where you got somebody who works in the same place and they think it's their job to do everybody else's job? You know what I'm saying? You got something there, and they're never really getting their job, and everybody else ends up having to do their job because they hadn't done their job. They've been too busy telling everybody else how to do their job. God's not going to like that. He didn't like it any more than you like it. So do what God's called you. So I don't know what he's called me to do. Well, start doing something. And you'd be surprised that, hey, if you're faithful a little, he'll make you ruler over much. I don't want to be a ruler. Well, fine. He's got a good place for you. He knows who you are. So we have to be diligent. He says, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. At evening, midnight, when the cock's crowing, in the morning. Instead of wasting our time trying to figure out when he's coming back. Maybe we should just invest that same amount of time and energy doing what Christ has called us to do as well and as efficiently as we can and not waste any of the time, the precious time we have left. I've been in a place like that too. I worked on a construction job for a while, and the boss would go out and do this and say, well, you know what, he'll be back in about 45 minutes. You want a Coke? Let's go have a soda. Pop, wherever you might be, wherever you come from there. Let's go have something. He won't be back for another 45 minutes. Listen, we can do this in probably 10 minutes. You see, I know it's fascinating to think about the end times and stuff, but we better not be wasting our time figuring out when he's coming and not have done the job he's called us to do while he's away. Now, I'm not saying we should never study those things. I'm just saying, you know, we're not careful. We focus on all those things. We know what the third toe and the left foot of Nebuchadnezzar's statue is, but we haven't won somebody to Christ in 15 years. We haven't given somebody a tract in 20. We've chased more folks away from Christ than we've ever drawn toward him. But bless God, we know what the toenail is on the third toe of the... In fact, we don't know that either. Letter B. A good servant doesn't sleep on the job. He said, we don't know when he's coming. Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. At an unexpected time, he sees us in the down time of the day. Wouldn't that be embarrassing? You hear about the preacher that he was supposed to have a he was supposed to go away and preach, and he had everything all lined up, somebody to fill the pulpit and everything. Saturday night, he gets this phone call, and turns out he's not going to be asked. He's not going to go to that place and preach anyway on Sunday morning. Now, none of his church members know. And it was a beautiful day, about 65 to 70, a half a mile from a beautiful 18 holes. I'm going to go play golf. They'll never know. So he goes out to play golf. Now, this is just a joke. So God and St. Peter are talking. And he looked over there, and Peter says, God said, did you see what he did? He's not going to church. He's the preacher. What are you going to do about that? You know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to give him a hole-in-one. A hole-in-one? Why are you going to do that? Who's he going to tell? Wouldn't it be embarrassing if God came home and saw us playing games? You can go play golf. I'm not saying you can't go play golf. I'm not saying that. You know that. But we've played games with our life. And he comes back and we have nothing to show for it. A good servant doesn't sleep on the job. Letter C. A good servant stays on the watch. He stays on the watch. The Bible talks about watching and praying. You know what that means? Keeping yourself awake. Making the priority to get a hold of God. To put your faith in who He is, even if you lose sleep and you become less profitable physically in order to be more profitable spiritually. I need him more than I need my sleep. That's what fasting's about. I need him than my daily bread. I've got to have him. And there's times in our lives where we have to kind of set ourselves there. And he's saying, listen, good servants, watch. He says, I say unto you all, watch. Number one underneath that, stay awake. Stay awake. Number two, stay busy. Number three, stay vigilant. Vigilant, diligent. Because the boss is coming back. And when he comes back, he's going to ask us to give an account of what we've done. This command applies to all of us, not just some of us, not just the overseers, not just the generation of Jesus. This applies to all generations until Jesus comes back. Number four, a good servant is faithful. A good servant is faithful. Now, we've covered our passage, but you know this. First Corinthians 4, 1 says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Do you know what a steward is? A caretaker of the master's possessions. If he's not faithful, then he's not taking care of the master's possessions. You can't call yourself a steward and leave the things out that you've been entrusted with to be taken, stolen, to rust away. We can't call ourselves servants if we're not serving. We can't be stewards if we're not tending to what we've been given responsibility for. We call ourselves servants, and you know what? There are people, and you know this as well as I, there are people in America who say, well, I must be a Christian because I'm not a Muslim, I'm not an atheist, I'm not a Buddhist, I'm not Hindu, I'm not a Hare Krishna, I'm not a Mooney. Some of you young kids don't even know what those are. I'm not this, I'm not that, I must be a Christian by default, I must be a Christian. Some people say, well, I'm serving the Lord because I'm not out here going against him. I'm not preaching against him. I'm not doing this. I must be a servant. No. A servant serves. 2 Peter 3. Did I give you that one too? Look at it with me. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. Listen, we live in a world where that's where we are. And saying, where's the promise of his coming? You really think he's coming back? Oh, come on, let's go have a beer. He won't be here. Hey, listen, I don't think he's coming back. Don't worry yourself over this stuff. You poor Christians, you kind of miss out on life. Where's the promise of his coming? And since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. What's he saying? God told Noah, the end's near. You're all going to be washed away. And they said, ah, no. God won't do that. He's too nice. I'm not sure he's up there anyway. That's not going to happen. Well, just as true, that came true, so will this. Verse 6, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word that said the flood's coming, the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment, perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, okay, it's going to happen. Wait a minute, beloved. Be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. I mean, where's the promise? Oh, it's coming. Well, listen, our generation hasn't seen it. My parents' generation hasn't seen it. Their parents' generation hasn't seen it. Their parents' generation hasn't seen it. That, see where I'm going? Not going to happen. No. Just a couple days with God. See, verse 9, the Lord's not slack in his promise. His promise that he's coming back, as some men count slackness, but it's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He said, listen, you're scoffing. What he's doing is giving your stupid soul another day to come to Christ. That's what he's doing. He's giving you one more day. And you will not be able to say, well, you came too quick. I didn't have a chance. Because in the meantime, what are we doing? Publishing the gospel throughout all the world. That's what we're supposed to be doing. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, verse 9. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Well, in our passage here is, we need to be servants. The end's coming. And we don't know when the end's coming. But it could happen any time. So right now, we need to get on the ball and stay on the ball. Watch yourself. Don't let yourself fall asleep. Don't get numb to it. Don't get bored of it. Don't just kind of, well, I've done my job. It's time for the young folks to do it. No. Now, there may be different jobs you've got to do because the young folks can do things that you can't do right now. But the fact is, listen, the hoary head's a glorious thing when it's found in righteousness. We need some folks with some gray hairs to lead us. Well, I'm getting on the other side there, too. We need some of us folks with gray hairs to lead. Now, almost done. Here's my application. There are some folks that are like the scoffers. And they really don't expect Jesus to come during their lifetime. They may be Christians. But they don't expect Jesus to come in their lifetime. Maybe not any time. Maybe they're not Christians. So they really are not mindful of the fact that, and are not concerned with being prepared for something that's probably not going to happen anyway. There are some folks who think Jesus is coming, but not anytime soon. They have seen many hundreds of years go by and still no coming of the Lord, so why be concerned with it? Maybe they just don't think that it's bad enough. And so we have plenty of time, so we need not get all worked up about it. There are some folks who believe that Jesus is indeed coming back. But they're doing fine because they think they're serving the Master by coming to church sometimes. Or even most of the times that the doors are open. Do you realize when we come to church, it's for our benefit? They said, we come to praise His name. Well, that's good, but to be honest with you, we're supposed to be coming to church to be daily in the apostles' doctrine, if you will, to be preached, to be exhorted, to be rebuked, reproved with all long suffering and die. Preach the word, instant in season, out of season. To hear the word, to be instructed in all things whatsoever He hath commanded us. We're supposed to go out and get them saved. And you say, well, we're going to praise His name. I'll say it one more time. The best way to praise God's name is to tell somebody else how great He is. Telling God, God is not an egomaniac that has to be told once in a while, get patted on the back to how good He is, or He's going to go pout in the corner. God knows how good He is. What He really wants to do is have you go tell somebody else how good He is. Go tell somebody else He died for your sins. We went over to the McConkie some time ago and had a really good meal, and I remember there's big old hunks of meat there. Anyway, we haven't done that for a while, have we? No, but I could stand here and I could tell Cindy how good a cook she is. And but you know, a lot of our songs, we're gonna say, I'm gonna praise you. Yes, I am. I'm gonna praise you. Yes, you're worthy of praise. I'm gonna praise you. Well, go ahead, praise her. See, we haven't praised anybody. Now, if I go over here to Darren and say, man, have you gotten one of those steaks that Cindy makes? Ooh. You haven't lived until you have one of those steaks that Cindy makes. The fork kind of goes through it and it melts in your mouth. I mean, we're talking, now I praise somebody. You see what I'm saying? When I start saying, what did they say? Ye shall be witnesses unto me. We're supposed to go out and give first-hand account of what God has done in our heart. The thing is, sometimes we're so busy trying to find the day that He's coming back, we haven't seen Him working in our life. We've been too busy doing a lot of other stuff. And we can't even give a good witness because we haven't really experienced much. There are some folks that believe that Jesus is coming back, and it may even be soon, but we don't need to get fanatical about it because God's cool. He knows I want to serve, not that I really have a whole lot of time to do it, but He knows I do. He knows I want to, so that's all that counts. It's the thought that counts. That's like saying, Brian, I was going to get you a birthday gift, but I didn't. But it was a thought to count. Yeah, apparently no thought. Right? Well, God knows my heart. I would have served Him, but He knows I just can't. Are you watching? Are you keeping an eye on your service to the Master? Or can you go easy because, well, He's out of town? First of all, He can come back into town anytime He wants to, and we don't know when that'll be. Secondly, there's a porter who's overseeing our service, and the porter will make a full report of our efforts and accomplishments when the boss shows up. In fact, he's keeping in contact. He doesn't need a cell phone. And if you think you're going to be able to detect when the Master's going to show up at the door, we're mistaken. We just need to watch us. And make sure we're doing what we're called to do. Father, thank you again for speaking to our hearts. I thank you for these dear folks. And Lord, every single one of us could probably watch a little closer. Make sure we're ready, that we're busy doing what we're supposed to do when you come back to get us. Thank you for your willingness to allow us to serve you. Or may we serve you better. May we open our hearts to you. In Christ's name.